For most of us, work is a sad affair. We are confused about it, disconnected from it, or simply over it. Fulfillment, lasting success, and a sense of purpose are rarely found. And yet we deserve them, because happy work is not just a possibility, it is a right. Welcome to the Human Value Entrepreneurship Podcast, where we explore a new take on a better work reality and how we can all achieve it.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode. I'm Vera and I'm here with Olivier. And today on the show, we have Jason Mark Campbell, a speaker, podcast host, and author of a book that just came out. And we're going to talk to him all about it. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, the book just came out. Super exciting times. And it's a pleasure to be on this platform and be able to share my message.
Yeah, the book is called Selling with Love. So we will include that in the show notes. But without further ado, I just kind of want to dive into sales because it's such a touchy subject with a lot of people. And I know a lot of our clients who are, you know, entrepreneurs, or they're kind of just starting back out, they've either been jaded by salespeople or are salespeople themselves that are just so over it and burnt out. So just tell us a little bit about why A, you wrote this book, and B, what can a salesperson gain from it?
You've already touched, you know, a big issue that I noticed is that a lot of the people, and particularly people that really are impact focused, like people that want to make a difference, people that go into business because there's a problem they want to solve in the world, perhaps, or in their communities or within themselves around them, they're just noticing things and they want to make a difference. I've seen that these people typically have more reluctance to sales than others. And I didn't think it's by accident. I think there's a lot of things within our current ecosystem, the way our economy works, that has created a space where some people that might not care, that might not have that impact mindset first, have understood that they can use sales and have used it in ways that are manipulative. And we've been on the receiving end of that. Mm-hmm. I think for us, if we've, you know, looked at, you know, the history of sales that we've had, and particularly why some of us might even feel embarrassed about calling ourselves salespeople, is because not only do we have personal or, you know, second degree experiences with negative sales interactions that make us think, wow, I don't want to be a salesperson. I don't want to be like those people who are manipulative, evil, you know, all these words that we typically label for salespeople. You don't want to associate with that. So we push it away. We put it in a little shadow box, right? And then on top of that, you have the media who portrays sales as a certain type of person. Like most people are familiar with the Wolf of Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like an idolized, toxic sales environment is there. And so some people might be like, whoa, look at that. Look at the power I can have. And look how much manipulation I can do and how I can take control over my life. Only to realize that, you know, this is not the way of selling. This is not how most successful people, like sales has so many people in there. And it's an unregulated industry. But the people that are succeeding, the people that are at their top, are actually applying the principles that I speak about. I just packaged it in a way so that the people that need to hear the message can actually pick it up and understand that selling is a beautiful thing. And when it can be done from a place of love, you will become an empowered, enthusiastic person that will actually take the impact you've always wanted to do and actually be able to scale it to so many people. And that's truly why I wrote the book and who I want to be able to help.
So you touch upon two things that are very important to us and what we do. And I'm very glad that you kind of bridge that. First off, you need something to sell that's worthwhile, right? So that's the first problem, right? A lot of people are in it to sell because of the financial transaction. They don't even care if that which they are offering is of any value for the people who receive that, right? On the one side of the bridge. On the other side of the bridge, there's also the fact, why are we selling? Or like, what is the intention behind selling? And you say it in the title of your book, Sell with Love is the starting point of everything. And I think you mentioned it in the first chapter. And I had to highlight this immediately because, you know, that really resonated with me. Anything you do from a place of scarcity and fear will always result in destruction of value that you can give. And it will poison the well, right? When you look at the world with fearful eyes, you can't sell or give value to someone with a good intention. Like there's already that problem. So maybe you can kind of fill us in on that idea of, okay, selling, yes, but it's also about what is the intention behind it? Where does it come from?
Well, I think to be able to illustrate what I speak about is maybe to define sales in the way that I do in my literature, which is selling is an energy exchange between conscious beings. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I use the term energy, well, mostly because, you know, I've worked in personal growth for almost a decade. And so I am definitely, familiar with more of the esoteric terms. And I love the term energy because it encompasses everything. One, it actually, identifies products or services, whatever you offer is energy, right? It took time to create, took product, like, resources to create, which are energy. And then the other side is money, is typically the other side of the equation. And again, money is nothing more than stored energy. And so there's a lot of baggage that can come because money itself has its own series of blocks. So let's give it a clean slate and call it energy. And here's what happens. I start adding another element to the equation, which is emotion. And again, emotion being energy in motion. So when you're speaking about intent, I actually define that as what is the emotion that is kind of lacing the whole transaction, because in every type of exchange, there's going to be an emotion felt on both the buyer and the seller.
Yep.
If I further expand on the definition, I mentioned that selling is nothing more than an energy exchange between conscious beings. When you know what you offer is so much more than what you ask in return, it becomes a transaction of love, both felt by the buyer and the seller. And so going, more into your question is like, well, if it's not selling with love, then what is it, right? The three other major emotions that I speak about that are different intent are shame and guilt blockages, fear, pride, paradox, and rational sabotage. And in this case, when you're making those sales that are effective, but you don't care, is where it falls into what I call the fear, pride, paradox. And the cost is that you notice these tendencies for salespeople who are maybe effective in the way that they sell, but so disconnected from how the impact and the emotion is coming through that they're finding coping mechanisms and numbing mechanisms not to face the reality of every transaction. But a cost is being incurred. And then you're seeing addiction issues, whether it's, gambling, drugs, alcohol, sex. Yeah. All that manifests. And these are ways to not be connected to the reality. Because if you're doing a ton of sales, and it's actually, the well is poisoned and it's just really taking away the ultimate value. There's something you don't want to face with that.
Yeah,
that's such a terrible reality. I was in that for almost two decades. I had to balance out the evil that I did in the transactional every day, with the common things like numbing yourself, going on, expensive vacations and trying to kind of, make up for the loss in soul that you incur through your transactional behavior. So, but I also sense that if you do that, and you talk about energy and you sell without love, there's actually energy is being mined. I feel like it's being removed because you see what it does to people, right? You see what it does. We lose faith, we lose trust, and we lose connection. And that's what hurts me the most about selling without love is that we just look at the transaction. Once the transaction is over, we move on.
Well, I think it's also a matter of just the word love. I guess it's not very shocking, but it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, especially when you use it in business. And you're like,
around the Wolf of Wall Street, right? He doesn't want to know about love.
No, he doesn't want to know about love.
I want to highlight something that I find interesting. The more I'm sharing this message is when I put this book together and when I speak about this message, the core people that I speak to are those who are actually more having what I call like shame and guilt blockages. Like they hate sales. They don't want to touch it. They're really blocked by it, but they've often not ever had success in selling because they've always kind of pushed it away. And what I'm realizing is that there's actually a really big portion of people that are just like you who worked in advertising for a long time, who've drank from the poison well for a long time. And I'm starting to see that there's actually a huge segment of salespeople that are actually not understood, that, have been forced into an environment that you had to sell from this fear and pride. And I'm actually really excited to be able to reach out to them because you're right. when you bring love to a stereotypical Wolf of Wall Street type of personality, it might seem shocking for them to say, like, what does love have to do with this?
Yeah.
But it has everything to do with everything we do.
Absolutely.
So everything. If like, imagine if you were, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street, and it's like, do you feel like there's an impact? Do you love the impact that's happening to the buyer, to you, and to the world in every transaction that you make? You wouldn't pass that test.
No.
And thus, was that company supposed to exist only for its purpose of showing us what is wrong?
Right.
But again, if we'd start learning from our mistakes, you wouldn't start the same thing again, because you'd realize that if love ain't there, it ain't worth it.
Yeah.
You know, Jason, there's this this test I like to do with my client, where you remove everything from their lives, everything, and you see what they're left with, and what remains on the deathbed, you know, 5 minutes before you go, right? You're just naked, you're scared, you're freezing, you look upon your life. And it's really what you said, it's emotion. Emotion, the emotional value of a transaction is all there is to the experience of life, because money cannot be taken to the other side. Money does not, you know, does not persist. But the emotion is really, when you look at the books of your life, you look back at your life and you realize that you celebrated joy, you expanded upon your joy, you celebrated transactions that are full of emotional value, you can go as a happy person. You can go and say, I lived a full life and my transactions were valuable.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's this book I had referred to me a couple months ago, and it's one of those sales classics, but I'd never taken the time to pick it up. It's called The Greatest Salesman in the World. Mm-hmm. It was written in the 1960s, and it's a cute story of a man who's dying, and he's passing on these scrolls of wisdom when it comes to sales. And again, 1960s, right? The first scroll that they give about the principles of being a great salesperson, it blew my mind when I went and picked up the book, because the first scroll is love. So this is not new information. And again, we talk about sales being an unregulated field. There's so many that are average to terrible. Mm-hmm. You look at the statistics of, you know, average number of follow-ups for a salesperson. Now, you know, all these types, it's abysmal. It's really bad. And, you know, it's, you know, okay, you're trying to find a career. Sales ends up being a place that, okay, if you don't have a job, you can usually get into sales because there's no cost into the company and you can just give it a shot, but we're not professionally trained. But if you go to the cream of the crop, right, you go to the top salespeople in the world, what are they doing? They're listening more. They care for their client. They're trying to find solutions to problems. These are all good things. One thing I find fascinating is there's a lot of people who are starting in a business, maybe as like coaches or consultants, and they're like, I'm a great coach, I'm a great consultant, I really solve problems and I execute, but they really struggle in sales. I'm fascinated by that, because a beautiful and effective sales process will sound a lot like a consultation or coaching call. It's just, you need to come to the point of saying, well, we understand that there's value to be provided. How do we take a next step to move this forward and make it a transaction?
See, I think that's the threshold. That is the threshold. I remember I always used to say, look, just get me in the room. Just get me in the room, and then I'm comfortable, you know, deploying the value. But pushing that door open for a lot of people is like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. What if they say no? You know, it's like a girl saying no to you when you ask her out. It's like, you cringe. You just go in a corner. You want to die. You're like, I'm not worth it. And we got that, you know, it got inoculated in us. Like, you cannot fail. You're not allowed to fail.
Yeah. There's also, I like to play with this thought, right? Because you mentioned like, whoa, what if I go in this room and they say no? And I've noticed new business owners get comfortable with that mindset. And here's what I mean. They're like, oh, but what if they say no, my sale is the problem. I can't sell. And it's a facade. Because the real question is not if you walk in there and they say no. The real scare is, what if you walk in and they say yes? Are you ready to deliver the product that you're planning to sell?
You're like, oh, what
people
now?
Go like,
That's what you should be terrified, because you got to make sure you're delivering that value you promised.
Yeah. What if they say yes and they found out you're an imposter? Like, that's the mindset, right? You're safe in behind the nose, but if they say yes, then you need to show up. Yeah. That's a big, that's a juicy one to unpack.
That is so good.
So true.
Oh my God, Jason, I really can't wait until I can read the entirety of the book. I'm so excited that this book is in the world and people are going to take on this message.
Yeah. I mean, as you said at the beginning, it's a transaction between two conscious beings being conscious, the consciousness, creating awareness for it. That is what I feel like your book and your message is here to do. And we need more of it, because we need to be conscious about the things we consume, we buy, we sell. Consciousness is really the beginning. And it starts with that message. It starts with love. Once again, it starts with love. I mean, it's just a general universal message, but in nowhere is it more urgent to be applied than in sales. So thank you so much for doing what you do.
It's my pleasure. And I love that you highlighted something, because I actually have a hidden agenda when I wrote this book, it's all about selling with love, but really there's another part of the equation that very, very important. And most people need to become aware, which is, how do you buy with love? Right. And again, you talked about how you become more conscious of every purchase decision you make. So as much as you're going to have more success, you're going to be able to make a bigger impact. When you learn to sell with love, you're going to be able to sell in a way that aligns with your values. You're going to get excited about selling and you're going to get clear on every ripple effect, but then you're never going to buy the same neither. And if you heighten your standards from what you will buy from, we will start shifting the industry of how people are going to be allowed to sell and have success. Because my mission is this, like, I got taken advantage at a young age from a douchey, scammy marketing company. I don't want there to be a marketplace for this to exist. Mm-hmm. And so if these ethical businesses, small business owners apply selling with love, there will be no room for this. And this is really what I want to try to push forward.
Yep. That's the education we need.
Jason, where can people find you if they want to ask questions? And can you give us the name of the website? I'll make sure that it's in the show notes, everyone, so you can purchase the book.
Yeah, of course. Easiest thing is to go to sellingwithlove.com/book. You'll get the link to the book, all the bonuses and everything that you can get when you get the book. That being said, you can always reach out to me on social media channels, whether it's Jason Mark Campbell on LinkedIn or on Instagram. If you do connect on LinkedIn, always add a note in your connection request. Tell me you heard of me on this podcast. And that way I'll be able to relate and I can help you with what you need.
Amazing. So everyone, if you've seen that movie, Glengarry Glen Ross, instead of always be closing, I'm going to leave you with always be loving. Thank you, Jason. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
If you like what you heard and you want to continue on the path towards achieving your own happy work, make sure to subscribe so you can get notified of weekly episodes. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for @thewhystory.